Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best.
Autant demander à l'oiseau dans l'espace s'il aime le ciel ou s'il aime son nid. Autant demander au marin qui voyage s'il peut vivre sans la mer et le beau temps. Autant demander à une fleur sauvage s'il en peut vraiment se passer de printemps. Paris, c'est sur la terre un coin de paradis. Paris, 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 de mes amours, c'est lui le favori. Mais oui, paradis. Ce que j'en dis, on vous l'a déjà dit. Et c'est Paris qui fait la parisienne, qu'importe qu'elle vienne du nord ou bien du midi. Et c'est aussi le charme et l'élégance et l'âme de la France, tout cela, mais c'est Paris.
Paris, Paris, Paris.
Madame, c'est votre robe si jolie.
Paris, Paris, Paris.
C'est votre beau bijou d'un goût exquis. Mais oui, Paris, c'est aussi votre généreux mari. Mais oui, Paris, c'est votre bourse blonde qu'on sait le mieux du monde coiffée avec fantaisie. Mais oui, Paris, c'est votre beau sourire, c'est tout ce qu'on désire, tout cela, mais c'est Paris. Et c'est aussi le charme et l'élégance de la France, tout cela, oui, c'est Paris.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Topically Yours on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Deirdre Shuler. And you know, we just elected President Obama for the second time around. He's accepted his inauguration and he did it on Martin Luther King's birthday. And it was only appropriate that he chose the civil rights leader's birthday because so many African Americans took part in the civil rights movement and many died and dedicated their time to earn the civil rights of African Americans in America, including Josephine Baker, who lived in France for most of her life. Well, we have one of her children with us today, Jean-Claude Baker, who's an entertainer in his own right, an author, producer, and model, and currently a restaurateur of Chez Josephine. And I've been to Chez Josephine, and I can tell you, they not only serve up fabulous food, but they serve up fabulous entertainment as well. Well, after 20 years of research, Mr. Baker and Chris Chase wrote Josephine, The Hungry Heart, which is a tell-all book that delves deeply into the life of the extremely generous but oftentimes exasperating Miss Josephine Baker. And she was a woman who pulled herself up out of poverty in America to become the toast of Paris. Well, I've invited Jean-Claude to tell us about himself, his ventures, and his book. And he's here with us, so why don't we say hello? How are you, Jean-Claude?
Bonjour, chère madame. It is my pleasure to be with you and your listener. Bon après-midi, as the French would say, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Let's first ask you, where is your restaurant located? Because I mentioned that you have a restaurant, and did you have any plans for the inauguration? Did you have a special dinner for that?
Oh, we had a wonderful time, of course. We were very happy that President Obama won the re-election. He's going to be with her for the next 4 years. Chez Josephine is on Theater Row in New York City, on 42nd Street between 9th and 10th Avenue, and we have been there for the past 26 years.
Wow, that is a long time.
It is a long time that Josephine is shining close to Broadway, where she shines on Broadway so many times herself during her lifetime.
Well, that's true. Now, didn't you have a Chez Josephine restaurant as well in Europe?
No, Josephine opened the first Chez Josephine in Paris, 40 Rue Fontaine in Montmartre, in 1926. And then in 1936, while she was in the Ziegfeld Follies in Manhattan, she had a Chez Josephine on 51st Street and Madison Avenue. She used to have Josephine all around the world.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
So I am continuing the tradition in some way.
Yes, you are. Well, let me ask you, I mentioned that Josephine had 12 children and you are the 13th. She never really adopted you, but she certainly made you her unofficial 13th child. So tell me about the Rainbow Tribe and
when Josephine was 50 years old, she could not have children. People would say that she had abortion, miscarriage, which is not true. She could not have children. And when she was 50 years old, with her fourth French husband, Jean Bouillon, she decided to adopt children of different races, color, and religion, and we would be called the Rainbow Tribe. And it ended that I had 10 brothers and 2 sisters of different races, colors, and religions. And that's how the Rainbow Tribe was started.
And how did she get all these children?
Oh, that's a very long and complicated story. Typical of Josephine, she would go and find some children. Like on the Christmas Eve, there were a child who was found in a garbage trunk in Paris. And that's a true story. And they thought it was a little cat or a little dog who had been thrown. And they found it was a child. And Josephine was then performing at the Paris Olympia. And she went right away to the hospital. And she adopted my brother, who will become named Noël, which means Christmas.
And she found him in the garbage dump?
Yes.
Wow.
But there is a different children. She found my brother, Jari, who is working with me in New York. She found him in in Finland, and then he went to live in Buenos Aires. But we are called the Rainbow Tribe because she found children, and sometimes she bought children. My brother Luis, she found in Colombia, and she paid at that time in 1952 $5,000 for him. So the lawyer said, Josephine, you didn't adopt him, you bought him.
Oh.
Well, she was a diva, you understand? You cannot analyze Josephine behaving like your or my behaving. Divas are different people. They are bigger than life, and so was Josephine, even in the way she adopted my many brothers and sisters.
No, but the parents didn't object, or they were when she bought this child, she bought the child from the parents?
Yes, but she paid $5,000, which in 1950 must have been like almost like $250,000 of today. So the parent took the money.
Oh, I see.
Which is not very kosher, but that's the way of Josephine did it.
Well, you just clarified for us that she never had biological children on her own, so to adopt children at 50 years old was quite a brave on her part.
Exactly, but you know, she break all the barriers. She break all the barriers. Even in those days, Josephine, who had been the first black sex symbol of the last century, who did so many things to shock the world. Don't forget that for the young people who don't know today, Josephine was a kind of Beyonce, Madonna, and Rihanna, you know, all put together, and Diana Ross and all of that. She was ahead of her time in so many, many different ways, in her private life, in the way she touched people, in the way she suddenly, at 50, after having had sex with everybody, decided to become a mother. And start again like nothing had happened before.
Well, now, show business can be a lonely life, even though you're surrounded by people.
Well, that's Josephine, so good what you said. That's so good what you just said. Thank you for saying that, because it will express. I do think that show business people should not have children, because it's such a lonely life. You are just waiting for the adulation of the public, the sound of the applause, the approval. And when it's suddenly the stage light is out, you are alone. You are alone and something is missing. Even if you have a lover, no matter what sex it is, you are lonely. And it's a very lonely life to be in show business on that level, like Josephine was.
Well, let's go back a little into her life. We know that she was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and her name was Frieda J. McDonald.
Yes, she was born of a very dark-skinned mother and a German father. That's why she had the name of Frieda, which is very German. She was born in 1906, and she will be raised the first 5 years of her life by her grandmother, who had been born a slave on a tobacco plantation in Holly Springs, Arkansas. And Josephine, all her life, will be traumatized by that wonderful grandmother she loved so much, Elvira, who had been born a slave. We should not forget about things like that.
No, we shouldn't. And I also want to say that because that it was so close to at that time where they had slaves, Josephine's family had a problem, or did they, with her color, because they were all pretty dark skinned.
Thank you for saying that, chère madame. Thank you. Of course, we see the problem in America in those days. Her mother was very dark-skinned, and Josephine was a brown-skinned. And the 15 years that Josephine would live in St. Louis with her half-brother and sister of different fathers, and Josephine would be the only one of a white father, while her brother and two sisters would be of different black men or African-American, if you want to be politically correct. So Josephine was too light-skinned for her own family. And when she came to perform with Shuffle Along in 1921 on Broadway, she wasn't too dark for those very precious Aguilar girls of Shuffle Along. So it's quite ironic, all of that. The color of her skin played a big part in her life while she was in America for 19 years.
And that's the thing. It seems like her family found her too dark, and then when she got on stage, the actresses were very, very fair, and then she was darker than them.
Exactly.
So she was sort of in a catch-22.
So, the funny thing is that the first 19 years of her life, which I like to call the springtime of her life or any life, Josephine's color of her skin was always a big problem. She was either too dark or too light.
Yes.
And, of course, now, the rest was America. She was a black performer. So she didn't. You feel you belong nowhere.
But when she was in Missouri,
very traumatizing for her.
Well, it was traumatizing from the beginning, wasn't it? Because her mother in particular was always away, and she ended up with her grandmother, and then she was also forced to get out and work and bring in money into the home.
Absolutely.
What did she do as a child?
Those poor little Chinese Jose, when she was 5-6 years old, she went to work and she was abused. And she was very honest to write about it. You know, Oprah Whitney wrote that she was abused, but Josephine Baker, back in 1926, when she wrote her first biography at age of 20, said that she had been abused by Mr. Kaiser while she was working for that family.
Wow. And also she was abused by women, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a different way, not sexually.
Well, abused, Josephine, and we are in the year 2012 and people have grown up, we can say it openly, Josephine was bisexual. And since you brought that subject, funny story, her last husband, Joe Bouillon, was bisexual too, which is funny today. You have same-sex couple marrying. Well, back in 1950, Josephine Baker and Joe Bouillon, both bisexual couple, adopted children. So she did that 6 years before everybody.
Oh, yes, and now it's not so uncommon that two bisexuals.
We have even President Obama
embracing
that new generation.
That is, and definitely is a new generation. Now, let me ask you, so Josephine, to get away from a lot of the hardship that happened to her, used to go to the theater, save her little pennies and go to the theater.
Absolutely.
And is that how she got...
To the Booker Washington Theater, the color theater of the black section of St. Louis. And she fell in love with the performer. And she loved the drag queens, most of them.
And she loved to dance.
She loved to dance and to do mimic. She was a kind of Charlie Chaplin, you know, in those days. She used to cross her eyes, she does, and people would love it. She would dance in front of the theater and do a little routine, and people would throw nickel, and she would make some money like that. That
now,
was the beginning of the famous Josephine.
How did she finally get on stage?
Well, she left Saint Louis, and she became the girlfriend of Clara Smith, who was a very famous blues singer. And Josephine became her lady lover. She was 15 years of age.
Now, let me ask you this. Was she married at that time or no? Because did she get married at 15?
Thank you for... Oh, excuse me. Thank you for asking that. Josephine was a little bit promiscuous when she was very, very young. And her mother was very obsessed and wanted to put her in a special school, a reform school for difficult children. And then friends said, you should marry her. So Josephine first married at 13 years of age, which I must defend her. It was quite common in those days for a poor little white or black girl to get married. It's nothing that shocking that she got married at 13. And she ended the marriage after 6 months. And then at 15, she left St. Louis and went to Philadelphia, where she performed at the Dunbar Theater. And there she married William Baker, and she would become Josephine Baker.
And then she kept his name.
She would keep his name, yes, all her life. And when she arrived in Paris, she said, my name is Josephine Baker. My father is Mr. Baker. I'm Josephine Baker. I'm going to marry Mr. Jean Lyon. And that's how she married Jean Lyon. And when she died in France at 69 years of age, her death certificate stipulated Josephine Baker, the daughter of William Baker. Only Josephine could do things like that. Can you imagine? It's wonderful. I love it.
Well, Josephine didn't have a very good relationship with her mother, Carrie, right? She brought her mother to France. But she grew up
more or less kidnapped her and brought her to live in the chateau. Yes, well, Carrie was a very frivolous mother. She would follow a man she loved and come back 6 months later. And while she was away, Josephine is the one who took care of her little brother and two sisters.
While they were staying with Elvira, the grandmother?
Yes, with the grandmother, or staying in one room, wherever they could stay, because if they were not paying the rent, they had to move. The 15 years in St. Louis left terrible memories in Josephine's mind. It was really a struggle.
Now, she ended up on stage in a chorus line, correct?
Yes, she went with Clara Smith, who was quite famous, a blues singer. She arrived in Philadelphia, and from Philadelphia, thanks to her father-in-law, William Baker, who used to have a restaurant, 1520 South Street in Philadelphia. Of course, a colored restaurant. In those days, America was very divided. I hope I don't have to remind that to the listener of today. So Mr. Baker loved his daughter-in-law, Josephine. He took her to Broadway to see a beautiful show of African-American entertainer called Shuffle Along by Cecil and Black. And Josephine fell in love, and she said, that's where I want to go. And she knew a friend from St. Louis who was in the chorus. And through that, she got an audition, and she would start in the first road company of Shuffle Along. While Shuffle Along was still performing on Broadway, she went on the road in Samford and things like that.
Well, tell me about Bob Russell and T.O.B.A.
Oh, Bob Russell was the man. Thank you, madam. I'm very happy that you know. It took me 20 years to write my book, and I'm happy that you know all the people in it. Bob Russell had a black theater company. He was a very great man. You could not swear. You could not have sex. He was a very strict man, wonderful. And he's the one who took Josephine away from St. Louis, and they went to Memphis, they went to New Orleans, and they landed in Philadelphia, and that's where Josephine left the show to marry William Baker.
Was she the Dixie Steppers at that time or not yet?
What you said?
Was she part of the Dixie Steppers at
yes.
that time? Or?
That was the name of the chorus girls there, yes, the Dixie Stepper. Mm-hmm.
And then she eventually was approached by, was it Carolyn Reagan or Dudley Reagan?
That will be later. In the summer of 1925, in New York, Carolyn Reagan, who was American but lived in Paris, wanted to astonish the French people with the talent of African-American entertainer. And she wanted to bring a black show to Paris. She went to New York, and she booked Josephine and will take Josephine to Paris in 1925 in a show called La Revue Nègre, the Negro Reviews, and it became a sensation.
Cool. Now, how was Paris?
Well, Josephine was 90 years of age. She arrived on a boat, and what astonished her first was that in Paris, people were kissing on the street. You could not do that. And the car were honking. So that really astonished her. Then they gave her some oysters, and she asked them to kill it before they could swallow because she didn't want them to move in her stomach. So it was a shock for her. And, of course, the good thing was that the color of her skin did not matter. And, in fact, because she was one of the darkest girls of La Revue Nègre, the French loved her because of the color of her skin, which they call café au lait, coffee with a drop of milk.
Now, to the Parisians, they named her the Black Venus, and the reason why?
Well, on the opening night of La Revue Nègre at Le Théâtre des Champs-Élysées, on the reopening night, in a number called La Danse de Charleston, Dance of the Charleston, with the Danse de Sauvage, Josephine stole the show. It became a sensation, a riot. On that moment, she became the first black sex symbol of the last century, and they call her the Black Venus. She became the darling, not only of the Parisian, but of Europe. And then it was such big news that it came back to America. And even in America, people talk about that.
Aha. Uh-huh. But she was... Well, tell me who Bricktop was. She eventually became part of the Folies Bergère.
Bricktop was never a great entertainer. Bricktop was more like a hostess. Bricktop had a cabaret in Paris called Chez Bricktop, where the elite of American, white, and English people would go and dance the Charleston. And Josephine and Bricktop were very great friends. Bricktop was like the big sister of Josephine, and she had her own club in Montmartre. And so when Josephine arrived in Paris, there were, of course, not many people to be friends with, and she knew Bricktop, and Bricktop was a big sister advice.
So she knew Bricktop from America, or she met her in Paris?
She had known Bricktop in America, yes. She had, like everybody knew each other in Harlem in those days.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about how you entered Josephine Baker's life.
Well, I was my father abandoned me in my village in Burgundy, and I met Josephine while I was a bellhop at the Hotel Scribe. And when I told her that I was alone at 14 years of age working in Paris, Josephine became crazy and said, "You have no father. From today on, you will have two mothers." And that's how that was Josephine's adoption act. But I became much more closer to her the last 10 years of her life. By then, she had lost money. She was wonderful, but impossible. You would give her $1 million at 9 o'clock in the morning. By 12 noon, she would be on the street begging for a token to take the subway. She would spend money like if it was water. So 10 years before her life, she had lost Les Miland. She was separated from Jo Bouillon, her husband, who refused to divorce. And that's when I came in her life, and I was the only one of the children who performed with her on stage. I used to be the spokesperson of the Rainbow Tribe. I used to speak on behalf of my brothers and sisters, and I do believe, indeed, of Josephine's utopic dream of universal brotherhood. If we could love each other a little bit, they would be less worthy. Like Josephine used to say, even if your brother kills your brother, you are still brothers. That was Josephine's kind of utopic dream that we could live in a better world.
Well, even though she was exasperating and sometimes impossible and a spendthrift, she had certain, morals.
Oh, yes, and sometimes there was a purity in what she was doing, even if it was contradictory with what she was doing or whatever. There was something very touching and very grandiose. She could have been a great politician. She could have been a great dancer. She could have been a great singer. She could have been all of that. but she wanted to do all of it. So she never left the strong impact the way she could have done it. But it's funny because since she left us in 1975, the legend keep growing.
Well, you know, that's the thing. She became very a legend in Paris, in France. But how was she viewed back in America by the white Americans and then by the African Americans?
Well, that's another very good question. You must understand that back in 1925, when you have that little colored girl naked on a Paris stage and then dancing with a belt of bananas and having sleeping with men and women, people were horrified in America, both white and black America, because black American would say, she's not good for the race. Look at her. How does she dare to behave like that? That's very bad for us. And white America was freaking out, saying, oh my God, look at her. What if our black people behave like her? So once again, she don't give a damn. She's breaking the rule, and she's her own star.
And I guess that's how you become a star. You have to stand out, correct?
Oh, if you want to become a real star, you have to stand up. You have to break you have to break chains. You have to break family. You have to break tradition. And again, we come to what you said before. Beyond all of that, there is a great loneliness. When you are alone, you are very alone. You do so many great things. People applaud you. Thousands of people would be waiting at Red Rose Station for Josephine and things like that. And then you go home, you sing of your grandmother, the slave. You sing the way your youth was. You sing of your first husband. So it's a lot of things, but all the shadows of your past are there attacking you at night, you know. So it must have been very difficult and lonely for her sometimes. And I used to sleep with her in the same bed. We never had sex, and if we had, I would say it. And as soon as the light would go down, she would say to me, Jean-Claude, you remember in 1926 when we first went there and there? And my brother and sister would have said, but Mama, I was born in 1970. But I would say yes, because I felt very privileged that she was going to share with me some part of her life. And I keep all that in my heart, in my soul. And, of course, when she passed away, that's why I went on a search for Josephine, knowing what she told me, which some of the things were fantasy, but some were very true. And that's why I wrote Josephine the Hungry Heart, and it is a very, very powerful, honest biography of a legend, Josephine Baker.
Well, it took you 20 years to do it, right?
Yes, years, and I was lucky to interview over 2,000 witnesses of her life, like the last people you could interview. I interviewed a school teacher from St. Louis. I interviewed all those people, and it was really magic. Well, at the same time, it's funny, because if Josephine was with us today, she would be very happy I find something. Second, she would have forgotten some things, and third, she would be very upset in thing I discovered, but those three parts make her full life.
Exactly. So you're saying in one sense she would have been upset, in another sense she would have been very proud.
Absolutely. And one she would have totally forgotten. There is so many things we forgot in our life. But the three things, I was lucky enough to be able to find back the true Josephine Baker, which was not Josephine Baker. Josephine Baker became the first black sex symbol on October the 2nd, 1925, at Le Théâtre des Champs-Élysées in Paris. But Tumpy, her name was Tumpy when she was born. Her nickname was Tumpy. Tumpy was born in St. Louis in 1906. So those two little girls, Tumpy and Josephine Baker, all their life will fight with each other, love each other, and hate each other.
Well, as I was saying before, her real name was Frida. How did she end up with the name Josephine?
Because her mother's friend, three African-American girls, one of them was very bright, Josephine Cooper. They had a laundry, and of course in those days, the laundry on the outside was, we wash for white people only, because even discrimination in America was between the dirty linen, between black and white people. Can you imagine that? And Josephine
yes.
Cooper, Tompy, and her name was Frida, and you know, when you were in the black section of San Luis, Frida was not very African-American name. And when you look at her, that she was brown skin, you could see the white man had been there. So that's why Josephine Cooper told to Josephine's mother, Carrie, well, you know, it's enough with Frida called her Josephine, and that's how she became Josephine, because of Josephine Cooper.
Oh, okay.
Her mother boss, who was maybe a little bit wiser woman, you know, she knew she had a business, and Josephine Cooper is the one who found Josephine's first husband, William Wells, when Josephine was 13 years of age.
Oh, I see. So they actually went out and found a husband for her.
Yes, Josephine Cooper is the one. She said, well, you know, she had to go to men. It won't be no good to put her in a school or a reform house. It's better to marry her. And that's why Josephine Cooper, being the boss of a laundry, making money, knowing people, find the husband for Josephine.
Well, how much education did Josephine do? She was being a maid, a laundress, and...
None, my dear. None. No education.
None?
At all. She went in school altogether 122 days in all her life. But,
oh,
I must remind her, she went to the School of Life. She met famous people in Paris. She was friends with Hemingway, with Cocteau, and people loved her. And she had no education. Instead of laughing at her, they taught her what she didn't know. And by the end of her life, Josephine was a very well-educated person. She could talk with the Pope, which she met many times. She could talk with President. She was self-educated, but there is no university in the world who could have given Josephine what she learned through her life.
Well, now, through her shows, first she was like a little comedian and a dancer, and then she changed her whole thing when she went to Paris and did more nude.
Yes, thank you very much. When she opened with La Rovinec, she was dancing, you know, sexy. The people said, oh, my God, white civilization is going to be destroyed by those African-American dance jazz artists. In 1930, she had been in Paris 5 years. She was sophisticated, elegant. She went to perform at Le Casino de Paris, which was really for leading ladies who knew how to speak, to go down the stairs. And there, Josephine came down, of course, holding a cheetah in a gold leash. And she started to open her mouth, and she sang, "To love Zavai, my country and Paris." And she was so sophisticated, so elegant, that the critic who 5 years earlier had said she would destroy the white civilization were now complaining and saying, oh, my God, how little Josephine had disappeared. And instead of her, there is an elegant Parisienne now. At the same time, it shows you it's difficult to please the critic. 5 years ago, she was a savage, and now she's a Parisienne.
Exactly. And more sophisticated.
Yes. And
now, she went throughout Europe. She wasn't just entertaining in France. She appeared in Germany and even Morocco and different parts, Algeria.
She went Josephine was the greatest star in the world in 1928, 1939. She went to South America. She went in Romania. She went in Czechoslovakia. She went in Sweden, where she slept with the prince. She went in Norway, where she slept with the crown prince. And, you know, she was a big sex symbol. So sex was very important. And in those days, like today, you have in all those gossip newspapers, all the stars sleeping with famous people. So Josephine was no exception, but she was the first one who did it so openly. And that was part of the legend as well. She would be a fabulous performer. She would sleep with famous people. She would have a chauffeur. She would have a beautiful house. She would have a butler. And then in 1936, she married Jean Lyon in France, her first French husband, who was a Jew. She married a French Jew and became a French citizen. And when France lost the war in 1939-40, Hitler said, no Jew, no black on the Paris stage. And poor Josephine was twice guilty in the eyes of Hitler. She was black, married to a Jew. Can you imagine that?
Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. Oh, yeah.
That's why she escaped France, put herself at the service of Charles de Gaulle. She worked for the underground. She went in the French Resistance, and she went to live in Morocco, where she became the mistress of the Pasha of Marrakesh.
Well, tell me, I don't know if it's true or not, but you can clarify, that I read or was told that she got poisoned by the Germans one time when she was trying to spy.
No, that's absolutely wrong. That's a lie. That's ridiculous. By that time she had left Paris, she was not in Paris anymore. But, you know, there is, when you are a legend, there is so many things which add to the legend. But trust me, Josephine has enough things which indeed happened to her. She doesn't need all the extra things. But all of that is part of the legend. Why not? Let it have it.
Well, okay, that's fair enough. But spying, was that had to be very scary that she spied for the French. She was part of the French resistance. And
well, no, it was a very easy job for her because she was Josephine Baker, the most famous woman in the world at that time. So when on the street the German would stop her and would say, instead she said, Josephine Baker, she would start to sing, J'ai deux amours, mon pays et Paris, and the German would applaud. And nobody thought to search her body. And indeed, on her body, she was carrying secret message, coded and all of that. Her music sheets, she had invisible ink document, and if a German would have stopped her and such, but nobody did that, so Josephine was laughing.
Oh, okay, because I would think that she'd be a nervous wreck.
She was absolutely not. Why, I'm Josephine Baker, who would dare to search me? And there she was right again. Not a single German officer went to search Josephine Baker. She would sing, she would sign photographs for his mother, for his wife or children, and she would go by, and that's it.
And she did this for the entire war? Or just
she did that. When she went to Morocco, and she was very sick. She had women problems. She was in hospital for over 2 years in Casablanca.
Wow.
And then while she was in hospital and the American landed in Morocco, they would have a meeting in her bedroom, in the clinic, in the hospital, and talk politics in front of Josephine Baker.
Wow.
Oh, please, read Josephine de Hongria.
It was very daring.
Yes, it is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, tell me about her relationship with Charles de Gaulle.
Well, she always said, I love tall men when you have to raise your head to look at their eyes. Oh, that's so nicely said. And Josephine and de Gaulle had a little fling, if you can say, which the French were shocked when I revealed that. And at the same time, I'm not shocked. It shows that even Charles de Gaulle had a good taste when it came to women.
Thank you. And he also gave her one of the highest honors for her service in the war, didn't he?
Absolutely. Josephine would receive from the French government la médaille de la Croix de Guerre, la médaille de la Résistance, et la Légion d'honneur for a military purpose, so which very few women get that. Very, very few women got that. She got the highest distinction which the French government could give to a woman, or a man in that matter.
And they gave her a military uniform, didn't they?
Oh, she was a sub-lieutenant in the Air Force.
Oh, she was, oh, okay, in the Air Force?
Yes, she was a sub-lieutenant, that's what you call, sous-lieutenant.
Like National Guard type of thing?
Yes, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because I saw that when she went finally did come to America and do some civil rights things,
well,
she
was at
uniform.
The march in Washington, and she's one of the few women who spoke. Martin Luther King asked Josephine Baker to speak, and when she spoke, she said, I've been waiting 30 years for this moment. And she said, you cannot put freedom at the lips of the people and do not expect them to drink it. Only Shakespeare could say something like that.
Yes, that was a wonderful line.
And I have wonderful letter between Martin Luther King and Josephine Baker, and she called himself your sister in the battle.
Wow.
And Martin Luther King thanked her for being in Washington, and she did a concert at Carnegie Hall, and the phone going for Martin Luther King. And he thanked her for that. He could not attend because he was committed somewhere, but he sent her a beautiful letter, which I have. Which made me very proud.
Of course. Well, tell me about her and Fidel Castro. She also met him.
Who?
Fidel Castro.
Oh, Fidel Castro, yes, yes. Well, it's a long and funny story. In the 50s, Josephine was performing in, she was a big, big star in Cuba, and three young men came and asked if she would give a concert for their cause and the money. I said yes, and she gave a concert. And that was Fidel Castro with his brother. And so when we lost the money at Le Miland, you know, she had lost her money, she lost the chateau, we were homeless, and Princess Grace found a place for us. Fidel Castro invited Josephine and my brother and sisters, I was in Berlin, so I didn't go, to spend a week in Cuba.
Oh, okay.
You understand? That was, yeah. Like, he didn't forget that when he was a young man, she was good to him.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Of course it is. People say, is she crazy? She's going with a communist man. Not at all. And it gave me great admiration for Fidel Castro, who never forgot that back in the 50s, Josephine Baker did a concert, and the profit of the concert went for his foundation at that time, whatever he was doing. And so now he's helping the lady who has no money with her children.
Well, now, you were mentioning that he brought her there because she lost her chateau. Tell me about the chateau, how she acquired it, and what it was.
Don't forget, we are talking about legend, like today and everything. And, of course, the son of a chocolate family, Meunier, bought the chateau for Joséphine as a present. That's the way it was. And he was a gay man, so I don't think he even slept with her. But he loved her, and he bought the chateau for her. It was a beautiful old chateau, and Josephine decided it would become the capital of Universal Brotherhood. It would be a Disney, and instead of having Mickey and all that, you would have a little child from Finland, one from South America, one from Morocco, and all of that. And Le Milan became a big, big attraction, bringing over 2,000 people on a weekend.
Well, what did she have on it? Museums? She had animals?
And, of course, she had, thank you. She had a museum of her life with little Tompi in St. Louis and all of that. And then you had a swimming pool with a J like Josephine, big swimming pool. You had, and then she was funny. You know, she was Disney. There were a village, African hut, where you take very no running water, so you could save and sleep very cheap. Or you had a little motel, or you had very expensive, so you had three kind of things for three kind of people with money. The poor people would come, the middle class people could come, and the rich people could come too. She could get money from everyone.
And she did.
And she did, but she was so bad at managing that she went bankruptcy. And she and Joe Bouillon, you remember, the last husband, she will marry it and started to have the children, said, Josephine, I will not divorce you because the children bear my name, which is Bouillon, which means soup. He said, and he went to live in Buenos Aires. And Josephine kept Le Milan alone, and it was a nightmare. She was losing money every day. And at the end, she lost Le Milan, which was sell in auction, and she lost it. Which was
She was getting tired, but she was forced to keep working to keep Le Milan.
It's a cash 22, of course. That's why even as a mother, I'm sorry to say that she was never home. When there were money, we had nurses to take care of my brother and sisters. And when there were no money, Josephine, our sister, Margaret, is the one who took care of her. So suddenly, you had 60 employees, and when there were no money, there were three people working. And people... And people stopped coming. Oh, it's a great tragedy. It's a great tragedy that's there. And then Princess Grace of Monaco came and found a place for us in Roquebrune. And that's where we live, in a little teeny house. And everyone has to live there, but at least was the norm. And Josephine had to go and perform all the time to pay the bills. Because it's not enough to have 13 children. Thank you, Lord. I never cost her money because I was making money. I used to be a singing star, a model. I used to have a famous discotheque. And with my money, I helped to pay for my brother and sister. But it was not enough. And by now, Josephine was not anymore the big star commanding big salaries. So it was the end.
You mentioned Princess Grace giving her a place. She gave it to her in Monaco with the kids when she lost.
Yes, it was not in Monte Carlo. It was in the French border. It's called Roquebrune, but it is 2 miles away from Monte Carlo.
Well, how did she come to meet
Well,
Grace Kelly.
The princess being a white American coming to Europe and being in closer contact, seeing what Josephine, had great admiration for Josephine Baker, that African-American woman. Princess Grace never forgot that she was American, and Princess Grace never forgot that Josephine Baker was an American-born woman, you understand? And mm-hmm. she never forgot the great tragedy which racism brought on people like Josephine Baker. So in some beautiful way, Princess Grace, with a beautiful white silk glove, came and helped Josephine, trying to erase the bad past which America had given on her and helping her with my brother and sisters. So it's a beautiful story there, beautiful friendship.
But they also, tell me about her incident in the store club with Walter Winchell, who at one time was her admirer.
Unfortunately, it's not the time to talk about that because it is a very important thing, but Josephine was never discriminated at the store club. It was a plot. She had made a plot. At that time, she was a French citizen, and when she would come back to America, she would be shocked to see how black Americans were still mistreated by white America. You understand? So mm-hmm. she plotted with a friend of her, who was a very famous African-American lady in New York, that she would claim discrimination because being French, she had a French passport. She could do things like that. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I mean?
Yes.
Nobody would go and claim discrimination at the soccer club if you're African-American because there would be newspapers, you have no job. Josephine Baker said, I don't give a damn. I have a French passport. I'm much more powerful than, what's his name, the journalist?
Walter Winchell.
I'm much more powerful than Walter Winchell. And Walter Winchell was a good friend of Josephine. He had written wonderful thing about him. And so she was not discriminated, but this will become one of the first big, big scandal in America, and it will kill the career of Walter Winchell, Billingsley, the owner of the store club, and Josephine Baker. She would be blacklisted. She could not come back to America, and it's Robert Kennedy who allowed her to come back to America.
Okay, so she was unable to come to America for 9 years or more?
Absolutely, about 10 years.
Wow.
And that's a very sad story, which deserves a show on its own. Because Josephine always felt guilty that the way she was living in France, in splendor and no discrimination, and she would come back here and she would see that you had the discrimination in the train and you know what I mean, what America was doing to black people. So she
felt wasn't guilty. That was one of the incidences, because she had a manager named Pepito Albertino.
Yes.
And he was really instrumental in her career. Tell me about their relationship.
Oh, Pepito was wonderful. Pepito was a little hustler in Paris in 26. He fell in love with Josephine, and he was very smart. He was very smart. And after she performed Naked with a Belt of Bananas, everybody loved her. But then a year later, people were getting tired. So he said to her, Josephine, you know, the people get tired, and let's go away for 3 years. And he took her for 2.5 years around the world, in South America, all over Europe. And during that time, he taught her how to become elegant to singing and to become a better entertainer. And that's why when she came back to Paris in 1930, as we said before, she started to sing, to behave. She was very elegant, and he was very, very, very good to her. And they came back to America in 1936 for the Ziegfeld, 35, 36, for the Ziegfeld Follies with Fanny Brash, who was a big, big star, and Bob Hope, who was first Broadway show. Well, Josephine came back as a grand dame, very elegant, and America was not ready for that. White America freaked out to see a colored person who had diamonds like nobody else, and she got very bad reviews in the show, certainly not deserved, but even black people were a little bit shocked, said, oh my God, look at her. And some black people who said, but why not? What's wrong? We deserve to be as good as the white people.
If not better.
Thank you, darling. Absolutely.
Well, now...
And Pepito will die of cancer.
But there was an incident in the discrimination in the hotel. that when she came back.
Of course, my dear. Thank you for saying. Well, when she was staying at the hotel on Central Park South, a big hotel there, and she had met her. And that she claimed that Pepito was a count. He was no count. He was nothing. So the Countess Josephine Baker arrived, and went to the hotel, and she had taken the full floor, not a wing of the full floor for Josephine Baker. And when they arrived, and they saw that the Countess was a colored person, to use the word, she threw her out of the hotel. She was there with her friend Miki Sawada, the wife of the Consul General of Japan, with the Rolls Royce from Japan, with the flag and the white chauffeur. And from that hotel, they went to 11 hotels, the Waldorf Astoria, everywhere. And everywhere she was refused. At the end, Josephine is in tears, and Miki Sawada, the little studio at Carnegie Hall, for Panther, and that's where even the white chauffeur from the refused to drive her anymore. He didn't want her to drive a colored person.
Oh, my God. And wasn't there a hotel where they said you could stay, but don't come in the elevator? You have to go through the service elevator?
When we talk like that, I'm sure that the young audiences of today must think that French guy is crazy. It's so sad that we forgot all those days. That was only yesterday. That was not 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, wasn't that far? It was only the 60s what they stood up and fought for their rights.
Absolutely,
that's not that long ago.
Absolutely, yes. And Josephine was there.
Yes, and Josephine was one of the people that...
And Josephine, when she arrived in that little studio, she honestly said, look at that. They don't want to welcome me back. She, who was a great star, could not go in a single hotel. Nobody wanted her.
Well, when she went in the store club, they accepted her there?
Oh, yes. She was a big star. Everybody applauded her. That was different. But that was different. She plotted the scandal because she wanted to bring attention of the injustice, which was still, of course, against black people. But at that time, she herself had not been discriminated. Absolutely not.
Now, you mentioned before, I just want to bring that back for a second, that she was in the hospital and she had gotten sick. Did she have peritonitis or something?
No, it was more than... she always wanted to have children, and she could not have children. So she went to a gynecologist in Morocco, and he did something in her private part, and became very, very sick, very, very sick. I have the official record from the doctor, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to say the name. I don't know how to pronounce it.
But she almost died.
Almost. Oh, absolutely. She was over a year between life and death every day.
For over a year. Wow.
Yes, over a year. Absolutely. She was in hospital close to 2 years. She could not get up. She was so weak, she could not get up. And of course, right after the war, when the war was still on, she went to sing for the English force, the Allies. She went to sing for the French. And when she came to Paris after the war, she was received on the Champs-Élysées like Joan of Arc was coming down to France. So Josephine, France loved her because during the war, she was on their side. So many French entertainers were on the side of the German as collaborators, you understand? But Josephine was there with France, with Charles de Gaulle. And so the French never forgot that. You know, when you are a star, you can be loved, adulated. But Josephine, every French family felt she was part of our family. She was our little sister, our daughter. I've never witnessed that from any entertainer in the world, no matter the color of your skin.
Well, not only was she a spendthrift, she was also extremely generous to everyone.
She could be very, very generous, crazy generous, you know, and give the skin of her back just like that.
Well, tell me about, she knew King Farouk.
Farouk, yes,
the
of course.
Egyptian
but,
King Farouk.
But Josephine had class, you know, don't ever forget that. She had great elegance, class. So she was performing with Farouk in a cabaret, and she was singing when suddenly she was dancing with an English officer when Farouk sent his aide-de-camp and said, stop the music, I want Josephine to come and dance with me. And Josephine said, His Majesty should know that I am dancing and enjoying and I will not dance with him now, maybe the next dance. So she taught the king how to be polite.
Wow.
Oh, everybody was very uncomfortable. I have news for you.
I'm sure they were. But was he gracious?
No, he was a pig.
Oh.
He was a pig, and she refused to dance with him. But, of course, you make always compromise with the king, and the next day she had a little lunch private with him in his palace.
Oh, okay.
But you understand, she taught him a lesson. I am dancing, I'm enjoying myself. His Majesty should recognize that.
Oh, I think she said, I'm not going to jump just because you called me, but, of course, I will show you later on that I can be gracious as well.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Now, you said that Josephine could be charming, dazzling, but sometimes exasperating. How did she exasperate you?
Oh, she would be. It's so many years ago that I don't know. She could be absolutely. Well, here it is. We are at the Beverly Hills Hotel in Los Angeles. It's her comeback. She hasn't been here for 12 years. She's almost forgotten. When suddenly the news, ABC News, come to do an interview of Josephine Baker in the news that evening. That's fabulous. You cannot pay that. So we are in the suite. The cameras start to roll, and suddenly she said, stop! I want $500.
Oh, no.
The cameraman looked, said, excuse me, Miss Baker, you hear me quite well. I want $500 to be paid for doing your... But Miss Baker, this is the news. We do not pay for the news. Frank Sinatra is singing in the theater next to you. His PR wanted to be... Our director chose you, Miss Baker. No, so of course, she refused. The camera left, and the next day we opened, and there were not a single person in the theater because nobody had heard about us.
And because she did that, there was no
Why she
press.
Did, because
there was no press on
because,
the show, right?
She did that because white had mistreated American in the past, but that had nothing to do with what we were doing there. Like, she would do press conference. She wanted to sell her life story for $3 million. So we had two Hefner come, and she said, I do not speak French. I do not speak English. I speak only French. So she said, my son would translate. And, of course, my English was very bad. And when I would not translate exactly the way she liked it, she would correct me in English in front of U.S. nurse. So I looked like an idiot. Of course I was upset.
Of course.
And, of course, $3 million. So he said, Miss Baker, do you have a script? She said, no, you will have to write it. And she said, it's very simple. I want $1 million right away. In 1 year, you have to write the film. And you give me $1 million, and you finish it in 1 year, and I want the last $3 million. Because you understand, if I happen to die in between, there would be free advertising for you. I would get no money for it.
I guess she was desperate to get money for the chateau, but she was on occasion self-defeating.
Yeah. And of course... If Hefner had given that money, she was predicting she died just when she came back to Paris. And the same story, we opened in Los Angeles, and the next day we come, and they said, oh, Marlene Dietrich was there. She wanted to know, did your lighting? And so he said, Marlene Dietrich, that German cow, she copied me all her life. The only thing left for her would be to copy my funerals.
She said that of Marlene
Dietrich.
Oh, my goodness.
She called her that German cow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wonderful. I think it's wonderful.
Well, we got 2 minutes left in the show, and
we talked about
what exasperated you, but what did you love about her?
What did you say?
We just talked about how she exasperated what were the things that endeared you to her and made you love her even more?
Oh, it was my birthday, my 30th birthday. We had just arrived in Argentina, in Brazil. And I woke up in the morning. She was standing over my bed. And then she sang, Bon anniversaire. And she sang to me, Happy birthday. And she said, my darling, here is a little golf clip for your tie. When I will have money again, I will put a big diamond in it. And I thought it was so nice. We had arrived the night before. She went somewhere. She bought me a present. I had even forgotten. I was so excited to be in Brazil. I forgot it was my birthday. I will never forget that. Bending over me, waiting for me to open my eyes and to sing happy birthday to me. That's so magic.
And tell me about her movies that she did. She did some Hollywood movies?
No, never Hollywood, but very good French movies. Zouzou, Princesse Tamtan, La Sirène des Tropiques. She did a silent movie and three speaking movies, which, of course, been the star in America in those days. You cannot have a colored woman being the star of a show, dancing with a white man and being in love with a white man. So those movies could have never been made in America of those days, which is very sad because we would have seen certainly in some very great movies made in America.
Well, I'm going to end it by asking you about your restaurant. Give me the address of your restaurant, and if you have a website that people can go and check out your restaurant.
Oui,
merci. I've been there, and the food is delicious.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup. It's 414 West 42nd Street, and it's www.chezjosephine.com. Chez Joséphine, C-H-E-Z, Joséphine, la Joséphine.com. Merci beaucoup, chère madame. Merci, merci, merci.
Au revoir.
Au revoir et à bientôt. It's a pleasure to welcome you to Chez Joséphine again very soon. And thank you to the listener.
Yes, thank you for being my guest today. And this is the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Deirdre Shuler. And we've been talking to Jean-Claude Baker, the son of Josephine Baker, the legend. And certainly a wonderful woman of all ages and will never be forgotten. And I want to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours. And thank you again, Jean-Claude.
Merci
Baker.
Beaucoup.
At the top of the show, we played Paris, Paris, and now we're going to play End the Show with J'ai deux amours, which means My Two Loves, which speaks of Josephine's love for America and for her adopted country, Paris, France.
On dit qu'on dit l'un des mers, là-bas sur le ciel clair, il existe une en séjour enchanté. Est-ce les grands arbres noirs chaque soir vers elle s'en va tout mon espoir. J'ai deux amours, mon pays et Paris, pareil toujours mon cœur est ravi. Ma savane est belle, mais à quoi bon unier ce qui m'ensorcelle, c'est Paris, Paris tout entier. Le voir un jour, c'est mon rêve joli. Quand sur la rive parfois au lointain j'aperçois un paquebot qui s'en va, vers lui j'étends les bras et le cœur battant de moi à mi voix doucement je dis emporte-moi.
Ton pays est Paris, parle toujours, ton cœur est ravi, ta savane est belle, mais à quoi bon unier. C'est ton rêve.